The gospel reading continues from John chapter 15, and this week beginning at verse 9 and concluding with verse 17. Listen to and for the word of God. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that you may that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord. In the late 1940s, Charles Templeton was a close friend and preaching associate of Billy Graham. Over time, however, Templeton developed intellectual doubts. He questioned the authority of Scripture and other core Christian beliefs. Templeton abandoned his faith. He resigned as a preaching associate of Billy Graham and became a novelist and news commentator. Templeton also wrote a critique of the Christian faith, Farewell to God, My Reasons for Rejecting the Christian Faith. Lee Strobel interviewed Charles Templeton in his book, The Case for Faith. Templeton was 83 at the time. In the interview, Templeton revealed some of the reasons he left the faith. Quote, I started considering the plagues that sweep across parts of the planet and indiscriminately kill, more often than not, painfully, all kinds of people, the ordinary, the decent, and the rotten. It is not possible for an intelligent person to believe that there is a deity who loves. Strobel then asked Templeton about Jesus. Templeton remarked, he was the greatest human being who has ever lived. He was a moral genius. His ethical sense was unique. Everything good I know, everything decent I know, everything pure I know, I learned from Jesus. He is the most important human being who has ever existed. And if I may put it this way, I miss him. My friends, what Charles Templeton described to Lee Strobel is what perhaps at times I know I have thought, perhaps you have thought, many of your non-churched or de-churched friends will often say, well, the genocide that's going around the world, what kind of God would be involved in that, or how can God love? So I'm inviting you into this arena this morning, not to depress you or to go, I can't believe our pastor is asking us to question our faith. I'm not. But we're continuing this series of you are the conduit. See, Jesus' message is about living his life through you and through me and engaging people in these kind of discussions. They're happening everywhere, all the time. And you don't have to go find them. They probably happen at times with people that you know, who you're in relationship with. And you don't have to like, hey, wait a minute, let me go to the website and print Dr. Marsha's sermon so I can better answer your questions. No, you can't do that yet, although Kirk has prepared a way for me to submit those to him so that they can be available on our website. But it's just through who you are, your words and deeds as a follower of Jesus, to be empathetic in people's doubts, but also to share how you in your life have resolved doubts of Christian faith. And that the whole goal is to come to resolution of doubts so that you can have hope in life. Well, Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48, and John chapter 15, 9 through 17 clearly announce that Jesus lays down his life for the benefit of everyone every day. I must confess to you that over the last few days in my life, that's probably the last thing I've been thinking about every morning, that Jesus once again is laying down his life for me and every other human being. And it's true today that we need to remember that Jesus laid down his life for every human being at the cross. Jesus continues to lay down his life following the resurrection. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Every day, Jesus is saying, Steve, I'm laying my life down for you. Trust me. Believe that I'm with you. And the same is true for each one of us. Jesus is with us. You see, Jesus shows us the way to participate with him in restoring broken and hurtful relationships. Jesus encourages us to live the resurrection belief that by demonstrating love and hospitality to one another and others, polarized relationships heal one life at a time. I believe that's true. I've seen it happen. We just have to believe in the power of the resurrection, that by loving and presenting hospitality to one another and to others, yes, in this sanctuary, there are some broken and polarized relationships. I hate to tell you that. And there are other people you might not even know, but you might come across and get to know. Polarized relationships exist. But Jesus is saying, come on, people, love one another and be hospitable to one another and be loving and hospitable to others in whatever way they present themselves to you. In Acts chapter 10, specifically, the Holy Spirit interrupted Peter's preaching. Wow, I wonder sometimes if God's really trying to interrupt me and I don't listen. I can't even imagine that. But maybe I better listen, because there's probably times that the Holy Spirit wants to interrupt me. So I give you permission. If you sense the Holy Spirit is telling you that I need to be interrupted, you just stand up and say, Pastor, we love you, but let's wrap it up. The Spirit interrupts. And the message was going to break out of its singular focus on the Jews and go to the Gentile world. That had to be upsetting to Peter. You know the distinction. Paul was all about the Gentiles. Peter was all about the Jews, finding Jesus, but being able to keep their traditions going. But the interruption here is now telling Peter, hey, you're doing a great message, but you need to not just be biased towards your Jewish brothers and sisters, and you need to reach out to the Gentiles, and do not encumber them with all the Jewish traditions. Now, I'm going to put it honestly to you. Those are fighting words for Peter. But the Spirit said, Peter, God grabbed you, and the message is not just for the Jews. It's for the Gentiles, and the Gentiles don't have to become Jewish. Jews need to believe in Jesus. Gentiles need to believe in Jesus. Traditions are important, but don't encumber the Gentile with the important traditions of the Christian Jews. Well, Peter went on. Noel Leo Erskine, great theologian, the new revelation made possible by the inbreaking of the Holy One was clear, continuing, the Gentile believers belong as much to the household of God as Jewish believers. Gentiles do not have to become Jews. God accepts them as they are. Okay, let's get rid of all the Jewish and Gentile and think about in our lives all the conditions we have for people to become followers of Jesus. And there are times Jesus says to me, you know, Steve, I just wish you would stick with my message and don't add your other little things you want people to do or say. But I think we do this all the time. The message to Peter was, be loving and hospitable to everyone. Present Jesus. And the same message is true today. How are we going to be a conduit to people if we make them rise to our conditions before we love? Does that make sense to you? Or our ideas? Love and be hospitable to one another and to others, even when a disagreement might occur. Keep loving and being hospitable to both sides so that we understand that we're united in the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him alone. You see, Peter was confronted with his exclusivism. That is, Peter's bias was wanting to reach the Jews, and if he had to, make Gentiles as much like faithful Jews as possible by enforcing specific Jewish traditions. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God comes to us over and over again, Emmanuel, God with us, over and over again. Jesus comes to me and says, look, Marsh, I love you. Let's just get on being loving and hospitable to all people. I know some of these folks drive you nuts, but my friend, you drive them nuts too. Get down to the business of being loving and hospitable and do it in my name. Now, John chapter 15, 9 through 17 focuses our attention on the reality of the Holy Spirit empowering each follower of Jesus to love one another and others with a love that is continuous and unconditional. It's possible, my friends. You see, if we keep Jesus' commandments, I can say when we are keeping them, we will do what Jesus did. I don't do Jesus' commandments all the time. I know that's hard for you to believe. But the point is, when I am believing his commandments, like the one in here, in John chapter 15, love others. No greater love does a person have than to lay down their life for another person. Now, as I shared 2 weeks ago at the 9 o'clock service, there are literal ways you can lay down your life. As Dr. John Chang did when the shooting occurred at Geneva Presbyterian Church, Christian man gave his life, saved the lives of 85 other people that were still in the room at the shooting. But how do we lay down our lives for others and for one another when we keep loving the person when they might have a differing viewpoint on any number of issues, but they agree with you about Jesus? Did you just follow that train of thought? We get polarized when we make the political perspective, the social perspective, the economic, whatever perspective more important than the Jesus perspective that we share. By all means, we all need to have political, societal, economic convictions. We would not be human. But Christianity is not Jesus plus this one makes you a follower of Jesus. But if you hold that other one, you might not be a real follower. Now, this is what's going on all the time. But Jesus wants us to be a conduit of salvation, literally and spiritually, to people. You can love me even when you might hear something I'm saying that you just think is like so off base. Love me. Just love me. Get me. You stay focused on Jesus. Get me focused on Jesus, because it's our focus on Jesus where we're united. So let's not get polarized. Once we get polarized over an issue, the gospel is thwarted. Now just trust me on that. Now, you don't have to get rid of your opinion. But as Christians, we don't live Jesus plus anything. We live Jesus and love. And then have great conversations about the things you disagree on. I know you're looking at me right now going, you can't have good conversations with people that disagree with you. Sure we can. We don't have to take our example of not doing it well with the House of Representatives, or our senators, or even our city council, or county commissioners. We need to stay focused on one thing. And can you say it with me? Jesus and his message of love and hospitality. Because you know what? Jesus is going to sort all this out. Jesus is going to sort it all out. You see, the Gospel of John depicts an alternative world, one that is rooted in an all-inclusive love which transcends anti-Judaism in this case, but anti-anything. Anti-anything. The unconditional, complete love of God in Jesus Christ is transcending all of this division. So let's get united in the love and start being the healing presence in polarized relationships, one at a time. You don't have to let go of your convictions. Do not make your convictions more important than your love for Jesus and that other person. You see, the call to love is to love beyond the community, reaching those outside it. Therein lies the significance of the impact of our lives on others. Well, in a moment, we're going to be celebrating the tradition of communion, but let me list some traditions that are helpful and some that are not. Gathering family together for birthdays and other celebrations is important. Hazing in fraternities, not so much. Tailgate parties for our favorite college football games or professional football games or whatever game is a favorable tradition. But deciding who is the right kind of person with whom we'll tailgate, not so much. We need to break out of traditions which exclude and have eyes for the other, those who at first glance just don't fit in. In Peter's case, as one biblical commentator notes, the Holy Spirit was working a powerful transformation among the early Christians. Their perspective of who was in and who was out was being changed, not by their own doing, but by the intervention of the Holy Spirit. End quote. You see, the boundaries of the inner circle kept widening to the point that the assumed boundaries were no longer legitimate. I think a lot of us struggle when the boundaries get wider. Some of us like the boundaries to be very closed. I'm so glad Jesus did not have such boundaries. That's why he's criticized all the time. He was hanging with the people that were outside the boundaries. And I think we can do the same, particularly when we make one another outside the boundaries, when we're already inside the boundaries. Loving one another. So God is our teacher. We are God's pupils. We are wired to love God and others. Brennan Manning, in The Importance of Being Foolish, How to Think Like Jesus, writes, "Compassion for others and joy over their repentance reign in the mind of Christ. Jesus' gentleness with sinners flowed from his ability to read their hearts and to detect the sincerity and essential goodness there." That first sentence has always captured me, and that's how Brennan has always lived his life. Compassion for others and joy over their repentance reign in the mind of Christ. I think some of us as Christians don't like it so much when someone that we are out of sorts with, and it might be around an issue of forgiveness, that when they change, we're like, darn it! Now I have to be loving and hospitable. Please go back to being that person you were before God led you to change and be loved by God. None of you ever struggle with that, do you? I know you guys are going, you know, every week you say something like that. Why? Because we're human. But God is trying to meet us in those polarizations which have nothing to do with Christ. And God wants us to be liberated from those things with compassion for others and joy for one another when good things happen in our lives that change us. So let's love one another and others as God loves. As we are being good neighbors, evidence of God at work overflows. You are the conduit for Jesus' love in your words and deeds. You are the conduit for Jesus' love in your words and deeds to restore broken and hurtful relationships. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia, amen.
Amen.